All right. Thank you, worship team. Beautiful songs, of course. And of course, the last song that we just sang is going to go perfect with this devotion, because that's the way the Holy Spirit works around here. And so it's just, it's beautiful. So good to see everybody here tonight. I know it's a busy time in everybody's lives, especially, you know, Thanksgiving week, especially the night before Thanksgiving. And it isn't going to get any less busy as we get into the next month, so everybody's prepared, I hope. But that's just the way we do things here. But I am glad and thankful that everybody takes this time out on a Wednesday night before Thanksgiving to come out and, again, to fellowship with one another, break bread with one another, and just be with others that are in this fellowship in the body of Christ. So it's a sweet thing. Now, I'm not going to ask you to open up your Bibles, because we are going to jump around a little bit, and you guys can just listen, if that's okay with you guys. I know that's a big break from what we normally do, but rarely do we have times in our life where everything is just smooth sailing, right? Or if it is smooth sailing, we know that it's not going to be long before something rears its ugly head and causes that smooth sailing ship to either hit the rocks or something of that nature. We know that the smooth sailing period never lasts for an extended period of time, relatively speaking. And so we can always count on the fact that our lives are going to get disrupted in some way, shape, or form. And that's just the way it'll be. You may get caught up on the bills. You may be able to fill the fridge with groceries that week. You may even have a little bit of money in the bank that you would call extra money. And those things happen time to time and now and again. But you know as well as I do that it won't be long before the water heater goes out. It won't be long before the furnace goes out or the clutch in your car takes a dump, and something's going to happen, and you're going to have to be ready for it. And I do hope that everybody knows that that's just the way life is. And so with that being said, we know that something's going to happen to set us back something. That's a fact of life. Something's going to happen to set us back. You may be in a place where there's been forgiveness with one another in relationships in your family, and that the tension with other family members may be subsided for a time. But you know, as well as I do, and if you've dealt with humans for any length of time, you know that something's going to, again, rear its head. Everybody might seem to get along fairly well for a period of time, but something is going to happen. Relationships, you guys, with each other, with friends, family, coworkers, whoever it may be, they're just really so volatile. So very volatile. And once what we begin to see with these relationships when things are smooth sailing is we start to notice a bend sometimes. A little tension here, a little frustration there in the relationships. And a bending starts to occur. And oftentimes, what bends also breaks. And so with that, something is going to set you back. We all live in a fallen world, do we not? We all have plenty of selfishness, self-centeredness. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of pride to go around. None of us are immune to it. Nobody in this room is immune to it. And nobody that you deal with is immune to it either. We live in a fallen world, and we are fallen creatures. And it's not going to be until we go home to live in bliss and perfection that we're going to have to deal that we. So until we go home and live in bliss and perfection, we are going to have to deal with all of the shortcomings that life has to bring to us. Growing up, my mom used to always say this certain phrase to me, and she'd say, "Dustin, happiness is based on happenings, but the joy of the Lord can be consistent through all things. And she really laid that foundation from start to finish, growing up from a young boy. I remember her always saying that, because I always put the words together, happiness, happenings, you know. And it makes sense, and it's true. It's true. That's what separates happiness from the joy of the Lord, by the way. The joy of the Lord is consistent, can be consistent, and it's available to you at all times, by the way. But happiness is based on happenings, circumstances, situations, and things of that nature. Through every heartbreak, hard time, trouble that we have, disappointment, frustration, all of the anxiety that this life can bring us at different times for different things, the true joy of the Lord only found through the salvation in Jesus Christ is available to us 100% of the time. Notice I use the word available. It's available to you. That doesn't mean you're going to use it every time, because oftentimes we resort and we revert back to the flesh. It's still available to you, that joy of the Lord that you have, if you belong to Him, if you are considered a child of God, if you are born again through His salvation plan. The joy of the Lord is available to you. And that's what it is like getting raised up in the Spirit, being transformed daily, is the more this transformation takes place in our lives, the more often we will stay in the Spirit or revert to the Spirit instead of resorting to the flesh. Let's take a minute and talk about a man who experienced all kinds of heartbreaks, hardships, troubles, all kinds of anxiety, disappointments and frustrations. And this man sets a very good example for us in that while he went through these things, he remained in the joy of the Lord. And he wrote all kinds of epistles for us to learn from, because that's our instruction in living. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes, in labors, when he was laboring, working, toiling, working for others, he did it more abundant than most. In stripes, when he got whooped, when he got beat for the gospel of Jesus Christ, he did it above measure. In prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times, he says, I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. And then you're going to notice here the word peril. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city and in perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, fasting often, in cold and in nakedness. Wow. Are we thankful? Just read a little bit about Paul the Apostle and everything that he went through, everything that the Lord made sure he went through. That he suffered greatly for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we can see him as an example set before us. Paul's hardships that he goes through, they are comforting to us. They are to be used as a comfort to us when we go through our own hardships. He gives us the example. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 explains that. That when God gives you a comfort for a trial or a trouble that you may be going through, the expectation and the instruction that God has given us through His Word is that when we come out on the other side of that, that we will take that comfort that He gave us and lovingly use it to give to others. our brothers and sisters in the Lord when they're going through a trial, when they're going through a trouble, and when they're going through a time. In other words, don't just hold on to the comfort that God gave you. Just like the gospel, actually. Don't just hold on to it. Give it away. And give it away freely, too. He also writes in the same letter, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our own body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." You know, the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that moved Paul to write these things is the same Spirit that testifies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Whoever desires to save his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." It really is, you guys, the flesh that we have in our own lives that can be affected by the hardships and the troubles that we go through. But it's the newfound Spirit in our lives that allow us to overcome, joyfully overcome, mind you, when we go through these hard times and trials and hardships. Remember what Jesus said regarding the Spirit. "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And that's so precious. Isn't that such a precious promise that we have? That when Jesus ascended to the Father, that he promised us that he would not leave us orphans, and that we would have a Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, to come alongside us, direct us, lead us, be in us, to always be with us. Such a comfort to me. Paul continues in the letter, "So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and we also therefore speak, because we agree with the Scriptures. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart." Therefore, we do not lose heart. You see, this great everlasting hope, you guys, that we have, that keeps us living joyfully through these hard times. It's the promise. It's the seal of the Holy Spirit being manifested in our lives. It's this Holy Spirit that we have living within. It's real-time evidence. Real-time evidence that you are, that is testified to you. That real-time evidence displayed for the rest of the world to see, for you to know, for your family and your friends to see. It's beautiful. It's real-time evidence of the living hope that we have in Jesus. And so let us realize that if we make full use of all that God has for us, all that he makes available to us, through the dark and weary times, we truly can live through them in a way that testifies to the goodness of God. The Holy Spirit will testify to Jesus each and every time. And it's up to us to take advantage of the Holy Spirit that's living within us. "Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The very things that you guys cannot see with your own two eyes, those are the eternal things. The things that we see through the flesh of our eyes, those things are all temporal. We will only endure it temporarily. But what we don't see through the flesh of our eyes is eternal. It's the living hope that we have, everlasting life with our Savior Jesus. I mean, we live it. You guys have heard it before. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. It's a very, very true statement. We truly are foreigners. We truly are pilgrims. We truly are sojourners going through this life. We have citizenship elsewhere. In the other Corinthian letter, Paul writes to them, "For I think that God has displayed us." He's speaking of the 12 unique apostles. "For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored." You guys, I truly thank God, and I encourage you to truly thank God that all that God used with these unique apostles that we read through the scriptures, they were willing to go and lay the groundwork for you and I. God did indeed have them suffer in a very unique way. And we, as Christians after them, we get to benefit from their suffering. But of course, we benefit in the complete sense in no one other than Jesus Christ himself and what he did on that cross, his suffering for us. Paul goes on to write, "To the present hour we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands, being reviled we bless, being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now." Man, Paul didn't think too highly of himself, did he? He thought highly of Jesus Christ. That's who he esteemed. There was no self-esteem going on in the life of Paul. And there should really be no self-esteem as the world defines it in us. Our esteem is to Jesus Christ, our King and our Savior. That's who we esteem in our lives. He's the only one in our lives that makes us worth anything. Otherwise, we're a pile of dust. So the same spirit of joy through the hardships that Paul had is the same spirit of joy that we can also have that's available to us 100% of the time, always consistent. It's available to you for the taking. The most joyful letter that Paul ever wrote, he wrote to the Philippian church. It's the most joyful letter he ever wrote. And guess where he wrote it? That's right, he wrote it in prison, in a dirty, dark Roman prison while he was in chains. Paul rejoiced in Jesus over his fellow brothers and sisters while he sat chained in a dark prison. So, as we conclude in our devotional here, like Paul, let's be thankful to Jesus in the good times and the bad. Let's be thankful to Jesus because he does not leave us, nor does he forsake us. We are in the palm of his hand. We are sealed in him. And most of all, let's be thankful to Jesus for the washing that we have received through him. He washes us, not only with his word, but he first washed us with his blood on Calvary's cross. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we are just so thankful for you. And Lord, as we read Paul's writings and his letters, Lord, a true man of the faith who endured so much, who you used as an example to be set before us, Lord, kind of an intermediary guy between Jesus and us, Lord, just giving us that example of how we should walk, of how we should behave, of how we should always use the Holy Spirit, Lord, that's available to us. Not turn to the flesh, Lord, not resort to the flesh, not revert to the flesh, But as Paul taught, let it the Spirit transform us day by day, step by step as we walk, so that we will learn, Lord, through the Spirit, by the renewing of our minds, Lord, to revert to the Spirit and not the flesh, to resort to the Spirit and not the flesh. Until that day, Lord, when you take us home, as already said, so we can live in bliss and perfection with you. We thank you, Jesus, for everything you did on that cross. There is not a name under heaven by which mankind can be saved. You are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through you. You are King, you are Lord, and you are our God. We love you, Jesus, and we ask you, Lord, during this time and this special season that we have every year, that you would just, by your Spirit, impress upon us a spirit of, and to have a heart of thankfulness and gratitude. Let us read the words of Paul, everything that he went through, everything that we just read, and to know he endured so much hardship and trouble, Lord, and frustration and disappointment. Nobody had to endure it like Paul did, except for you, Jesus, of course. And so let us look at these things in your holy word to let them edify us and keep the main thing, and to set our spiritual reality before us so that we can always have a spirit of thankfulness toward you. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.